Welcome to another episode of Bank On It. I'm here to talk to Blessing and Navashni. Come with me. Welcome to another episode of Bank On It, and I'm here with Navashni and Blessing. Thank you so much for being with me.
Thanks for having us, Kaushik.
So I'm keen to get stuck straight into it. Tell me about all the cool stuff that you're busy with at Capitec, Navashni.
So focus very much on our client. Part of my portfolio is around understanding how clients behave, understanding the science behind their behavior, and then designing products and services that our clients need. But product and services not just from what we need to launch into market, but products and services that are going to make a significant difference in the lives of our clients and fueled and powered by insights from them.
Yeah. I don't even want to ask you, Blessing, what do you do? Navashni's covered all of that, but it's incredibly fascinating.
Yeah. So I think maybe just to add, it's actually quite an exciting time, I think, for us as a bank. I'm looking back the last 3 years, some of the things we've been able to bring into market. And what excites me the most is we're not just bringing products that are traditionally just bank products. We're really anchoring on beyond banking. So some of the things we've done recently is create a telco product for our clients. So they have Capitec Connect. And now they're able to actually get airtime and data from a Capitec provisions. We also have the ability to give them that access in our branches. So they're able to go to our branches and get access to those services. We have a rewards platform we've created for our from our clients as well. So they're able to get Capitec Live Better, which allows them to get rewards as they transact. They don't even have to think about it. They just set it up and it works. But in my day-to-day, what we do is build some of those products across our ecosystem for personal banking clients. And that keeps us very, very busy and very engaged. And our clients tell us now and again that they need more, so we never stop.
I hear you.
And after Blessing builds them and launches them into market, part of my portfolio goes in and the team goes in and we actually measure. So we get the insights, the measurements after that product goes into market, and we send it back into Blessing's world so that they can always iterate on that. So always listening to our client, putting our client's voices at the forefront.
So, I mean, I love that you use the word iterative, because it's very collaborative, and you've created this very successful feedback loop that your engineer constantly goes through. I suppose the burning question I have is, you have millions of clients. That's millions of hundreds of millions of voices.
Yes.
Everyone has opinions on stuff. I love having opinions on products I've never built, because I'm like, please add this. And if only you knew, you'll ask me this. How do you actually distill all of that down, figure out, okay, this is important, this is urgent, this is impactful, this is a nice to have, we're going to just disregard this view?
So we do have millions of data points, and the data points come from various measurement tools that we use, social media. We look at complaints data. We look at what clients are actually saying in our branches, what our staff are saying. And then we look at, between Blessing and me, we've put together what we called a health model across our products and services. So we have around 24 different data points, and from there, it actually gives us themes. And it says, okay, maybe 60% of complaints for this month or unhappiness or sentiment reduction is coming from a specific area. And for the first time in the last 6 months, we have a diagnostic tool.
Okay.
And that diagnostic tool then gets the product owners to actually focus on what the points that the places that they need to go and fix. Where previously, if you're looking at millions of data points, it's going to give you high level. It's going to say, okay, they're upset with payments, or they, you know, one of the areas. Now we go, what about that is not working? And it's very, very powerful. And Blessing will give us some of the stats now on how we've increased the sentiment through using the product health tool, and then how the product owners and developers take that into their everyday work. So I think I just want to say that listening to clients is not a month-on-month thing for us. It's an everyday thing. It's what drives our business, and it's embedded in how we actually do anything at Capitec.
Yeah. And I think I'll pick up on that. I think the word that I enjoy using there is embedded. And it, I think from it actually is inspired by our values. I think from a founding member perspective, the story goes that Capitec founding members walked the streets. Mm. They actually walked into the different neighborhoods, the townships, back in the day, 20-odd years ago, 24 years ago, to understand what actually are the needs of the client in relation to what they need to, you know, for their financial lives. Mm. And I think on the back of that was born our fundamentals, so affordability, simplicity, accessibility, a personal client experience. And I think on the back of that, we've always had this adage that at Capitec, if it moves, you must measure it. Mm. So when we understood that context, just by first listening to the client, then overlaying that, you know, ecosystem of our fundamentals, we then understood that there's gaps we can fulfill for them. Then we started building products from there, and we had a focus from day one. So that's where we evolved, and we find ourselves 25 years later still not, you know, giving up on that objective. So Navashni talks about this health diagnostic tool that we've enabled across our business. In fact, each and every business and product owner have got those 24 data points that are embedded for their products across our channels. So we know exactly when a client has walked away from any of our services, what are some of the unhappy points, because we actually follow the sentiment from social media. We actually listen to the voices that have hit our business support center, our call centers, and we actually link that to the incidents that we see happening from a day-to-day in our systems. And then every week, we sit down and we ask ourselves the question, has that sentiment shifted? And there we're able to correlate then down to exactly what the use case is, that if we made simpler, better, accessible for our clients, or more personalized for them on any channel, how we can improve that product or service. And I'm excited by the journey that we're in. And for me, I just don't want us to lose the fact that it's in the DNA of Capitec. Yep. Client, energy and ownership. And on the basis of that, we keep evolving.
I like that you brought up the correlation element to it, because when you look at satisfaction, you look at these 24 data points or those metrics and benchmarking, I want to get a sense of how strongly each of those, although albeit independent, are actually interrelated, integrated and correlated between each other. So if you see an uptick in element A service, you see an uptick in element D, E, F, etc. Is that something you see on the benchmark?
There's cause and effect.
Yeah.
So we see the cause and effect. Mm. Downtime.
Yeah.
We're down 4 hours on a Friday during lunchtime. Mm. You see that sentiment drop.
It ripples all the way through.
Completely.
Yeah.
And then it stays over the weekend. So we know what is driving the negative sentiment. Mm. We put a product out into market our clients love. Vehicle license discs.
Yeah.
Loved us for it. Sentiment went up. So the sentiment also teaches us what the strengths are, but it also shows us where the pain points are. Clients loving the usability of our app, the simplicity of our app. Every week, those themes come through. Mm. The things that they don't like, not enough communication on our fraud.
Yeah.
You know, not getting back to them soon enough. So those are thematic themes, and we see when there's an increase in one that it decreases the sentiment, or if there's a love for one, it increases the sentiment.
Got you.
Just to give context is that we have a group score for CSAT, so there's a sentiment across Capitec split into the retail business, the business bank business, and the insurance business. Each of those businesses then gets their own sentiment scores. They get their own things every week, their own insights into what clients are speaking about, loving. An example is if it takes too long for a claims process, for example, Blessing will take out the diagnostic tool, and I'm saying this very, it does, and then go, okay, claims are supposed to be paid in 7 hours, we're taking 9 hours, let's go in the next couple of hours and find out why. So the cause and effect is we see it moving like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blessing, on that, I want to pick up on that conversation around you taking out this diagnostic tool physically from under your desk.
Like a stethoscope.
Exactly. Let's talk operational excellence and efficiency, right? I mean, I have a background in banking as well, and there's always been a struggle in financial institutions to over-engineer, over-optimize, lean processes. I know you probably hate the word lean. I'm glad that I said it first. Yeah. But get to a point where there's absolutely no fat. It's lean, it's agile, all those fancy buzzwords. Mm. But in the process, like Navashi alluded to, you sacrifice certain important elements that introduce friction by design and are intentional.
Mm.
For instance, having someone speak to you as opposed to processing something digitally.
Yes.
How do you strike that fine balance between healthy friction and becoming super lean to the point that you seem efficient, but it compromises or diminishes the client experience?
It's putting yourself in the shoes of the client. I think for me, that's the answer. I think one very critical example of the example you make is, for example, fraud.
Yep.
Right? We've got use cases where clients are actually not even aware that they're being defrauded while they're actively interacting with some of our services. I think on the app, for example, we've gone with such an interesting approach on our side where we asked clients certain questions based on what they're doing on the app when they transact to pay. Investment schemes are where our clients are told that if they actually pay certain accounts, they'll get returns after a certain amount of time. And so there, if you make payments so efficient that you just click a button and the payment is done, but you as a bank, you have knowledge of the fact that this could be a bad actor that's trying to take the client's money, and you don't actually introduce what I call good and healthy friction into that experience, you might end up with a situation where you have an unhappy client. So if it means, on the banking side, our efficiencies in terms of maybe some operational engagement with our chat agents to explain to the client what's happening, we have to hire more of those people to actually build that trust with the client and make them safe, we make those calls. So again, it goes back to, do you understand what's acting on your client? Can you actually appreciate what's acting on your client? And it's not just about what's happening in the short term, but also in the long term.
Yep.
Then you balance that out. So I agree. I think it goes back to fully appreciating in context to what's acting on your client, that client experience, and then making calls that actually come back and satisfy that client need.
I like that. It's balancing healthy friction with optimization. And it kind of leads me to the next part, Navashini. Do you see positive experiences have a network effect, particularly in the age of social media where people love complaining about everything, right? Let alone financial institutions, because when someone has a bad experience, they'll be online saying, tagging everyone, please fix, I have this bad experience. Do you see the converse happen?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we're lucky that we're our ethos, our DNA is embedded in client. I can't even begin. Our boardroom conversations are around client. We kick off Excos with a client experience report every week. When we go down, you'll see advocacy on social media. So we will go back and we'll say, apologize, and our clients will go, Capitec, because we love you, we're going to give you a break this time. So you see the social swell of advocacy. And then in our real life, in our branches, without fail, our branch staff are identified weekly on social media throughout our reporting as delivering a great human experience. So the job that we have to do between Blessing and myself is go, as we digitize, as AI becomes more and more part of our world, how do we take the secret sauce, this essence that we've created in this human space, and how do we move that forward? Because yes, we're not where we want to be on our digital experiences. It's still, you know, it's great, but the humanness of Capitec, that spirit of Capitec has to live on there. So absolutely. We do something good, clients speak about it, there's advocacy around it, but there's absolute brand love.
So the good news travels fast,
which is
so important because it amplifies everything you do, and that good experience kind of ripples and that triggers into your social media sentiment, which it just is a pendulum, right? It quickly moves back and forth. But Navashini mentioned AI and tech, so I'm going to ask you probably the burning hardest question that everyone loves asking now, which is incredibly complex, but how do you see that shaping client and customer experience, particularly in banking? You know, where people have inherently an aversion to speak to a chatbot to answer prompts that are predetermined. How do you get people over that technological hurdle and the literacy and becoming comfortable with it and still balancing that human element?
I think one of the things I've often said is what we shouldn't lose in the world of AI is the reality that ultimately even AI needs to exist for the client need. And I think I'm saying what I've been saying because that consistently really drives how we approach the transformation onto AI. It's a powerful tool. I think it can really change our lives. And one of the things we do from an approach point of view within Capitec is we look at where there's actual frustration specifically today, even with our internal staff in terms of their day-to-day. Then you take that and you look at our service consultants and agents and say, what's frustrating them with our systems? How can we lift that frustration and simplify it using AI interventions? And once you start doing that, you know, where there's a bending need, there's an ease of adoption. Think about COVID, right?
Yeah.
There was a burning need to bank, and no one could go to a physical branch. What happened? People actually adopted digital channels, and they became more and more comfortable. But it was because there was a real need and a real frustration. So I've got this view in my side that if we focus on actually lifting those experiences and simplifying them using AI, then there'll be this meeting of adoption and efficiency. Then you start seeing, for example, today in our branches, in the last 6 months, our branch teams, any of our service consultant, can ask a chatbot AI about any of our product insights. We've had 30,000 hits in the last 6 months, and that's one of the areas where we've got optimization and efficiency. But it's solving a real problem.
Yeah.
And guess who's feeling it? The client.
The clients.
Because the client is standing in front of the agent saying, wow, Navashni just mentioned a real human experience. It feels like a real human experience because it's instant, it's insightful, but you actually don't see that there's another bot AI experience augmented.
It's powered by machines.
So if I take that pattern and that appreciation and look at all our other channels, let's go to our app. Where do our clients engage with us? Where we augment with a level of AI that's just sufficient for now, that they can get what they need instantly, and then over time augmented with a people assistant experience. And then that pendulum slowly, as things get comfortable and we get comfortable, we shift that pendulum.
Got you.
Goes back to understanding the need and the client experience and introducing technology to enable that need as opposed to the conversations about the tech.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. So, Navashni, I want to close off by asking you about all the cool stuff you have in your pipeline.
Oh, wow.
I know you constantly...
Are we allowed to say?
all the stuff that you can say.
Okay.
All the stuff that you can... All the stuff you can't say, you can tell me off camera.
So,
but like the cool stuff you have on the client experience side.
So product stuff, I don't think I can really... I can talk about new product, but I can talk about strategic levers that we are looking at. So if we're looking at... And we spoke about the bad beneficiary. We spoke about the positive friction. Behavioral science, how we adopt that into technology. We're creating Capitec-specific behavioral science methodologies. We're working with behavioral scientists across the world. We're bringing that to start helping in where do we pause friction, how do we speak to a client, how do we simplify language. Because as we move into this digital age, 19 million clients using our app and our digital channels, I'm not going to always be able to have this conversation. So there's a range of behaviors that we're now wanting to start using behavioral science principles to help us embed in our digital channels so that we can make it easier for our clients. But also our language needs to evolve. Our terms and conditions needs to evolve. So all of these things are in a bucket of behavioral science. Then we're looking at, from a UX capability, how do we use AI to start driving better flows in digital channels? How do we start using behavioral analytics? So when I speak about analytics, the deployment of analytical tools that can tell us real time where clients are rage clicking, where they're having issues with, where do we start changing language because there's a language barrier. So those are just some of the strategies that we're starting to look at that's going to help power, take this app that clients already love, but help make it almost more relatable, more human, able to understand what we're trying to sell. Because if you're trying to sell a very complex credit product on a digital channel, there's going to be barriers in terms of understanding, you know. So these are some of the things that I'm excited about adopting and utilizing, yes.
Listen, thank you so much. It's such an engaging, insightful convo. I can't wait to see what you have planned.
I mean, there's so much. Yeah, I think Navashni has covered a lot of it, but I think at the center of it is how do we continue to create value for the Capitec client across what we enable in the business, across our insurance business, across our business bank business and personal banking.
Yeah.
And then what brings it together is that amazing strategic initiatives world where we've got our telco, our value-added services, value offering. We've got our rewards platform. And I think we touched on it even, Kheri touched on it at the AGM as well, is how do we create that world where our clients can feel the Capitec service across the business. And that for me is going to be exciting.
I think the founders will say to you that they knew the clients well, they walked the streets. There's integrity, there's respect for the fellow human being, and there's a respect for our staff. And and whatever we do, we base it on that.
That's right.
You respect the client.
Brilliant. So, Navashni Blessing, thank you so much for engaging conversation.
Thank you.
And can't wait to see what you have in store for us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.